Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for the special music. It's almost like we're related because we're friends of the Schallenbergers and their son is married to your niece and her mom is your sister. So it's nice on Family Day to all be connected some way or another. My wife and our two kids are here from Ohio. Our daughter's a sophomore in college. Our son's a junior in high school. And we were out here last year and loved it so much we wanted to come back. So looking forward to it. The only thing I did notice this year that's a little different is, and I don't want to, you know, really pick on Mr. Weber because I know he's from California, but there's a doctrinal difference with the Californians against the Ohioans. Now, it's not a big doctrine, but when we teach speakers in the Midwest, we attach a bungee cord to each hip so they can move about 6 inches left or right, and I know the Californians like to walk back and forth on the stage, so other than the doctrinal differences, it seems that we're pretty much compatible. When we think about what this is Family Day at the Feast of Tabernacles 2014, we have to look at what is it that our God is and what does he want from you and me? What is a phrase or a word that we can use to describe God and Jesus Christ? Turn to Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 14 and 15. Ephesians 3, verses 14 and 15. For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So we read a description of God who's called the Father, and because of him, the entire family is named a certain thing. So one term that we can use for God is family. God shows himself to you and me as a family. God shows himself to you and me as a loving father and a loving son and brothers and sisters. And that's very appropriate for today. Turn to John 17, please. We'll read another term that describes the Father and the Son, John chapter 17. We'll read verse 11, John 17, 11. It says, now, Christ speaking, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. God and Jesus Christ are perfectly unified. God and Jesus Christ have the same mind, the same thoughts, the same desires, the same wants, the same needs, the same everything. So when we look at God and Jesus Christ and what they are, we can say that they have family unity. They have a family unity that those of us here today in Oceanside want so bad. They have a family unity that extends beyond anything that could come between them. They have a family unity that can teach you and me things to help our family day and the rest of the feast and the rest of this year become more unified in our family. Today we're going to look at just a couple of things to help build family unity based on what God and his word want from you and me. Turn to Ephesians 4. The first thing is that you and I, on Family Day, need to start setting aside specific family time. Now, a lot of Family Day is directed at the teens, and I know the teens like to hear this sometimes, and other times they don't. But when you and I are trying to become like the Father and Jesus Christ, and they're perfectly unified, and they are considered the ultimate family, you and I need to set aside family time. Now, I know at the feast, we're halfway through the feast, and it's difficult sometimes to have family time. But one way to look at the feast is to say it's 8 days long, it's 24 hours a day, so it's 192 hours. So out of that 192 hours, we should be setting aside time that we devote to our families. We should be setting aside time where people are doing things together. I remember where we stayed last year, we overlooked the beach, and there were four people running up the beach. And after they came up, I thought, well, I know who those kids are. It was a brother and a sister and a brother and a sister who were cousins. For them, family time was going for a run on the beach. Maybe family time is going out to a restaurant or spending a few minutes together in the morning, or maybe going out on the beach and throwing a football. But whatever it is, we have to be doing that at the feast. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read verse 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, when I read endeavoring, it sounds to me like somebody has to work at it. And I don't know about you, but our family at times has to work at family unity. You know, we have a teenager that's in college and a teenager that's in high school, and they have a lot going on, and they have classes, and they have friends, and they like to go places, and my wife's involved in things in the community and the school, and I try to work at least 40 hours a week. I'd like to work less, but that's not always possible. But it says here that we're to put effort into keeping the unity of the Spirit, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. I heard a quote from an author that I like, a gentleman named Rory Vaden, and he said that success is never owned, it's only rented, and the rent is due every day. And when I think of family day and family unity, I think of family unity is never owned, it's only rented, and the rent is due every day. The Apostle Paul says that we have to endeavor to build family unity, that we have to work at it, that we have to expend energy. The quote says that we have to do something every day to start building that. You know, I know also at the feast, a lot of young people are struggling or dealing with homework. They're dealing with being away from class. I know our daughter had an economics professor, and we missed Thursday for trumpets, and then two more Thursdays for holy days. And when she went and told her economics professor about it, he was less than happy. Now, she went a little above and beyond. She did some things ahead of time. She made him a little happy. But still, when she gets back, she's going to have multiple papers due. So I know she's working on that. Our son is dealing with his physics. He has to check a website and get the daily homework and work at it. So when Paul says that we have to endeavor to build family unity, we have to factor in everything that's going on in our lives, but still try to carve out time so that we can have that time to be together. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, please. I know for the young people, it's difficult sometimes. They have to go into the room and sit down and check the calculus homework and work on things, and all they know is that all their friends are on the beach having fun. So sometimes they get less than happy about these things. And our job as families is to build family unity even with that happening. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Philippians 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, if any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. God is saying to us that we have to, based on His Word, build family time. We have to do things together, or we will never have a unity of mind. Unity of mind and unity of spirit and family unity only comes after a big commitment of time and quality. It's a lot of work. Verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself. So if you're a parent and you have a child, sometimes it's difficult because you're struggling with homework, you're struggling with maybe they're having a little difficulty with the church, or maybe they would rather be with somebody else, or maybe they'd better rather be with some friends. Paul says that the adults, the ones who inferior, more mature, it's time to have more humility, to realize what the young people are dealing with, what they're having to go through. I mean, I remember when I was in high school and I would go to the feast, I did not have an academic challenge. I went to a high school in northern Florida before I dropped out. I dropped out my junior year. It's one of the things I'm proudest of. It's a half joke. I did homeschool for 2 years. Graduated number one in my class. That's what I like to tell people. I challenge my son every day. Well, maybe not every day. I say, you know, in my day, I graduated first in my class, and you're not there yet, so pick it up, son. But there are times when I was young, I didn't have academic challenge. I went to a high school that had three basic groups, and the whole goal of the high school was to reduce the number of fights between the three groups. So it wasn't about really learning. It was a lot about policing people. But young people today are dealing with issues academically and in their schools and in their lives that I don't think those of us who grew up in the church can really understand. You know, they're being pressured to get into the right school, to get into the right college, to get just the right GPA, to do the extracurriculars, to be on this committee and to be on this council so that they can do the right thing to get into the right place. When I was growing up, the challenges were a little different. You know, you stay out of jail, you don't get caught dealing drugs, and that was pretty much a winner. So our job is to spend time with our families. Our job is not just to raise great kids, but to have them become great adults, to have them embrace, like Jerry Schallenberger was saying, embrace the vision that these days represent. And when we have more and more family time, quality time and time with quantity, we can help our young people see that vision. We can help our young people get excited about opening the Bible and reading Scripture. Or if there are young people opening their app or opening their iPad or opening their Samsung S5 or whatever it is to read Scripture. This is what our day, Family Day, is about. For the rest of the year, what can you do to increase family unity? You know, we know that the Feast of Tabernacles is a time to get out of the world. We spend 8 days, we have a little break, we get messages, we get learning, we get fellowship, we get to be around people of like mind to try to energize us so for the next 12 months we can maintain the perspective that God wants us to maintain. And it's the same for our young people. It's the same for the students. It's the same for everybody that's here. We have to start making plans now so that we can have that time. I know in our family, Saturday morning, thankfully we have afternoon services, and I'd like to keep it that way. We've got one gentleman here that always, he's my father-in-law, so I can mock him a little in public. But he's always battling for morning services, and all the young people are battling for afternoon services. But we get up on Saturday morning, and I make waffles for the family, and I mix everything up, and I set the table, and then Michelle and our kids come downstairs, and we're cooking these toasty brown waffles, and we're putting strawberries and blueberries and whipped cream on them. And we'll usually sit there for an hour and a half, talking about what's going on in life. Talking about how was your week, what's going on, how is school, how is everything that's happening around you. That's the time that we find is our most precious or some of our most precious family time. And I think every single one of us could develop something like that. Something that says we're going to make this our time and it's special time and we're going to use it to talk about things that are bigger than did you get your homework done or what time will you be home or did you get something done on your vehicle. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll read verses 6 and 7. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. So anybody that says the New Testament has a religion and the Old Testament has a religion is right, and it's the same religion. Deuteronomy 6:6 says that those of us who are working to be leaders in a family and having a unified family have to first fix ourselves. We have to get our own minds and our own hearts and our own attitudes in the right place so that what comes next can happen. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up in the Worldwide Church of God. I'm like Jerry. We both grew up at about, he grew up a little before me, because I'm younger than he is. I'm sure you can tell that. We did something recently at a holy day, and a kid came up to Jerry and said, "Are you the guy that spoke today? Because you look funny." But it wasn't Jerry that spoke, it was me. So I told him, I said, "Well, either you look funny as well, or because we look too much alike." So Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, it says, "These things shall be in your heart." Then verse 7. So the outcome of us getting our lives right is you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. God wants us to have quality and quantity family time. Not just for 8 days, but for 365 days. And this isn't just for the young people. We won't go there, but 1 Timothy 5:4, you can read it later. It says that when a parent does the right thing for the child owes the parent repayment. So the fact that we have waffles on Saturday morning is partly for our two kids. I can't really call them kids, our daughter's in college, but our two young adults in the house. But it's also so that one day they will show that back to us, so that we have a two-way relationship, so that we're both doing something that's better. For us, that weekly time of having waffles and talking, finding out what's going on, is a time for us to figure out what is possibly coming in the future that could blow up. What is happening that may be going down the wrong path? We're trying to defuse the bomb before it gets lit. And that's that family time that we have every week. Now, it's also, as much as we want to have family time, we also have to let our young people have their own time. You know, it almost sounds opposite to family unity, but sometimes family unity is allowing our teens and our young adults to do more on their own, to do things with other people. I mean, I know we were here last year, and up the beach was a family, and they had rented a four-story home, and I think there were about 73 people in the house. And they would, this is a literal truth, not a figurative truth, but literal, they would reserve two full rows for their family. And our kids got to know them, and they would go up the beach multiple times and just hang out with the Pates, or with the, it's multiple different names because they're married, but the grandma and her kids and grandkids were here. And it was a beautiful time that both of our kids could go and spend time with their friends. They could go and start to experience, what is my feast like? Because at some point, our son and our daughter will experience the feast without us. And we want them to start seeing that you can do the feast on your own and still have a wonderful time. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, please. This is the other side of that, Ephesians 6. Verses 1 through 4, or actually we'll read verses 1 and verse 4. Ephesians 6, 1. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." If you're a young person here and you want free time, do what's right and your parents won't have any issue with it. Do what's right and you'll have more freedom than you could ever imagine. Do what's right, and you'll be able to spend time with your friends and enjoy it. Because parents are more willing to let the rope out when they see over time that their young people are making the right decisions. And then on the other side, it says, fathers, verse 4, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You want to have true family unity? Every single day, spend some time building it. Every single day, spend some time interacting as a family, talking as a family, asking questions, finding out what's going on, finding out what's exciting, what's coming up. Spend that time together, and young people embrace it as well. Because just like Jerry said, or Mr. Schallenberg, I should probably say from up here, I call him Jerry at home because he's lowly like me. But he said that one day you'll be coming to the feast by yourself. You'll be coming on your own. And you need to keep what we believe in the very front of your mind. Because if you have trouble, if you have problems, I will flat guarantee you that if you turn to the Word of God, the answers will become clear. You have issues with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, issues with a teacher or a professor, issues with what type of job to find, turn to the Word of God. Embrace what these days represent. Say, I am going to choose this as my way of life because I want to see all the incredible benefits that come from it. You know, our son, and I like to talk about our son when I speak because it makes his face red, but he wanted, and he's pretty pale too, so this year, he wanted to go to homecoming. You know, it's a big dance at school, and he has a responsibility, and this group that he's in has to do some cleanup for it. So he wanted to go, and we thought, well, you can go. And then he wanted to invite a young lady with him, and I'm not going to say her name because she's here, and I don't want to embarrass her. So I'll just call her Kay, because that's the first initial. It's the first initial. It's not her name. It's her name begins with K. See, Kendall, I would never embarrass you. That's not the type of person I am. So Alan and this young lady, who I won't name, they went off to homecoming. They had a great time. And they were able to do it because they had built up trust. Her parents were willing to let her come over. Alan's parents were willing to let him go do something because they had done the right thing and made the right decisions, and they started getting more freedom. And they had a wonderful time. Michelle took a picture of the three of us because I told them I was going with them. They didn't smile in that picture. I smiled. But they had done something over and over to where their parents have said, I'm going to give them a little rope. I'm going to let them do something that's a little bit out there. Now, some of you may think going to a school dance isn't out there, but Michelle and I are pretty right-wing. Well, I'm a far right-wing conservative. She's just a conservative. And it's hard sometimes to let our babies go do things. And our baby boy, he's turning 11 next year. He'll tell you he's 16, but in our mind, he's 11. We have to start giving him some freedom. Turn to Proverbs 22, verse 6, please. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Have family unity from the time they're young, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. Now, I've always read this scripture, and I thought, well, how is it that some people depart from it then? People from the same family. different things. We had a pastor, Mr. Horchak, one time, till he moved out here to the West Coast, because he probably walks around the stage. And Mr. Horchak said, read the scripture a little differently. He said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There may be a time when our children depart from it, and as they get older, they start to question what life is all about. And they start to remember that when they were young, they heard things that made sense and that were the answers to the big questions. They heard things that were the most important things they could ever hear. Maybe then they start to come back to it. Eventually, they will come back to it. Eventually, God will work with them to bring them back. So this is Family Day. And Family Day is more than just teenagers. It's more than just young people. It's more than just people who have kids here at the feast. It's also about all of us, because all of us are part of an extended family. The other thing we need to do on Family Day is adopt somebody in need. Find out somebody that is in need, search them out, and invite them into your family. Invite them out to a restaurant. Invite them into your home. Now, I can tell you, this is not comfortable for everybody. I can tell you that some people find walking out on stage like this to be very unnerving. I worked for a gentleman, and for a long time we would do personality tests. So we've done Myers-Briggs 4 or 5 times, and what I learned about myself is I'm an ISTJ. Now, if you're a Myers-Briggs fanatic, you know what the I means. The I means introverted. So what did my boss do? He put me into sales. Now, I don't know if you're an introvert and you go into sales, now you have to start changing who and what you are. Turn to Psalm 68, verse 6. God has a challenge for each and every one of us, and it's a challenge that we find at the Feast of Tabernacles. Psalm 68, verse 6 says that God sets the solitary in families. What you and I are told to do at the Feast of Tabernacles is to adopt somebody. When God says He sets the solitary in families, He doesn't magically pick somebody up, levitate them across the room, and drop them down somewhere else. He works through you and me to go find people to do something for. Now, if you're like me, that's uncomfortable. I can tell you, 8 months and 2 days ago, I did something that was very uncomfortable that's changed everything about me. I can tell you that I'm trying to go from an introvert to a quasi-extrovert. I'll never be an extrovert, but I know when we were doing on the telephone hookup, Mr. Weber said, use Psalm 68, verse 6, and talk about how it's about Family Day. And I read that scripture, and I thought, well, that doesn't fit my personality. It doesn't fit who and what I am. But God wants you and me to do something different than what we naturally do. 8 months and 2 days ago, my wife took me on a trip to Baltimore, Maryland. I live in Columbus, Ohio. She laid me up on a table, and she turned me over to two neurosurgeons who put a 12-inch gash in the side of my head, started pulling the skin back. I don't know if you've ever filleted a fish, but you know, you pull it back, you cut a little. They drilled some holes in my head, they cut a square of my skull out, and they spent 13 hours digging around in my brain. Now, Jerry Schallenberger would say they didn't find anything. But they found a tumor. They removed the tumor. They plugged me up. They sewed me up. And they sent me on my way. And I can tell you, when you wake up from an experience like that, what you tell yourself is, from now on, I'm going to be a different person. I'm going to be able to stand out in front of people, overcome the things that drive me, the things that I have difficulty with, and try to help other people identify what's difficult and change. The Word of God gives each and every one of us the power and the strength. Man, it feels good to be back here. And I'm going to hook these bungee cords back up. But the Word of God gives every single one of us the opportunity to do something that may not be normal in our lives. God says that He sets the solitary in families. God says that He wants to use each and every one of us to go find somebody in need and draw them in and do something for them. Now, what if you're sitting there and you're saying, well, I'm one of the solitary. I'm somebody that needs adopted. Maybe at this feast you decide you're going to do the adopting. Maybe at this feast you say, Family Day is where I'm going to step outside of myself and do something for somebody else. You know, Jesus came to this earth, and Jesus said in John 10:10, He says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That's the vision that we heard about earlier. That's the difference that God wants to make in our lives. That's the direction that God wants all of us moving. You have difficulties in your family? Work on it. You have difficulties at school? Work on it. You have difficulties in your job? Work on it. You have difficulties in a marriage? Work on it. And go to God and claim that you came so I could have life and have it more abundantly. Please help me. You know, what I went through, as bad as it was for me, there are people in this room that went through worse this year. That all of us need to be praying for, need to be caring for. Because I can tell you, when you go through a major life issue, it has a major impact. I can tell you, when I was laying in a hospital bed, there were times that I got upset. There were times that I threw a fit. There were times that my wife had to take a deep breath and think, it's only the steroids. He'll get over it. And I'm off the steroids and nothing's changing. For the rest of the year, God wants us to do what He wants us to do at the feast. He wants us to go and find the solitary and set them in families. He wants us to be building family unity that way. And He wants us to examine our own lives and say, what is it you struggle with when I tell you to do something through the Bible? We need to go to God and ask God for His help, because God will give us more help than we could ever imagine. Because God wants us to succeed. God wants us to do the very best, to be the very best, and He wants us to be the example that sometimes now turns people and sometimes in the future turns people. You know, the Feast of Tabernacles is family time. All year long is family time. All year long is when God wants us to build family unity. Go to John 17, please. This is Mr. Schallenberger's favorite scripture, John 17. It's the last one. Nobody laughed, Jerry, so it didn't work. John 17, verse 22. John 17, verse 22. You know, the Feast of Tabernacles for us, it's practice. It's practice to live a better life during these 8 days and to live a better life for the next 12 months before we come back to the feast again next year. John 17, 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. God says to you and me, I want family unity. I want you to have a relationship like Jesus Christ and the Father have. He wants us to have unified families, just like He and the Father are unified. You know, Family Day, I always find, is a special day at the Feast of Tabernacles. because it's a day to kind of reiterate one of the reasons why we're here, and that's to share with our family the wonderful truth that you and I have been given. During the feast, we're able to focus on families, our own families. We're able to focus on adopting others into our spiritual family. So let's use this day, this feast, and the rest of this year to reach out and grow and improve our families. Happy Family Day.